The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You are listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Finally hit the ramp.
All right then, folks, so welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, glad to have you on board. Now, for those of you that have an ear for music, will I readily identify that piece of music as King for One Day by the Thompson Twins, and hoping to be the King of Darkness for this occasion in 2024.
Hey, we gotta
will
go
be
to
our competitors,
and a
but a competition like this requires a great organizer, a great motivator. And we have Steve Garcia. How are you doing, sir?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Tony?
Not too bad. So you're here pretty much dockside. We've got our skiers about to go onto water practicing. You know, it must fill you with enormous pride and enormous satisfaction going forwards in seeing all of these competitors from around the world. And not just the elite level competitors, but also the kids and the juniors, you know, just taking on the entire atmosphere here at King of Darkness.
So when my wife and I got into water skiing, we got into it because it was a family sport. We're from California. Way different it is here at Florida, the pro level. It's very collegial. You know, it's grassroots. And to be able to do this here with so many great pros, so many world champions, and then having their children ski tonight and tomorrow night is an extreme honor.
Yes, indeed. You're very, very quick to highlight the fact that Taylor's going to be in the jump final.
My son is going to be in the jump final. My daughter missed it by one. They both skied great. They were wonderful. I'm so proud of them. And
of course, your future daughter-in-law is going to be a factor in the women's jump final as well.
Well, we sure hope so. She's skiing beautifully, and she's in the jump final, and they get married in January. We're looking forward to that a lot.
Indeed. So, I mean, kind of give us a brief summary of the kind of challenges that you've had to overcome, especially given that this event was less than 2 weeks after a major named storm hit this part of the world.
So this year was uniquely challenging in that we had to remove 6 million gallons of water from the lake. Without removing 6 million gallons of water, we couldn't have had the tournament. We started doing that about a week ago, and we got 6 million gallons out in 3 days. It was really something.
Indeed. And I mean, the lake looks as pristine as it typically does. I mean, I don't see much difference between the lake here as you know, this year compared to last year. So I mean, you've done exceptionally well.
It's a little higher. I mean, it's a little higher, but we've changed the path of the boat. For example, we're going on the right side of the jump instead of on the left side of the jump.
I see that, yeah.
And that's changed everything. It's made it really skiable. And you look at the results from the slalom skiers. I mean, this has got to be the highest cut ever in slalom skiing history, 5:41. And one guy did not get it, 5:41 jump. There would have been, but for a fall, we would have had four guys over 70 meters. I mean, they're skiing incredibly. Women's Hannah Straslova, 195 feet.
New PB.
Which is right there on the precipice of a world record. Sasha, my future daughter-in-law, best score of the year, 179. The kids are really doing it. They're skiing well.
Yes, indeed. And you mentioned that one person that failed to make the cut on 5:41 or 5:10.25 meters. He still had enough points from being fifth place to actually give him the season-long water ski pro tour title.
Well, I've had the honor of traveling with Will, and you know, it's Will Asher we're talking about. I've had the honor of traveling with Will to Marrakesh and other places, and Will has been the most consistent top-level men's skier for this year, which if you really, don't knock me, Will, but he's old. It's truly amazing.
He's in his 40s, isn't he?
Yes, he is, and it's a testament to the way he trains, the way he takes care of himself, the seriousness, and mostly, honestly, if you know the guy, the passion, the love for the sport, that's what drives him. It's not result-orientated, it's process-oriented.
Indeed. And another skier who is skiing well into his 40s, almost into his 50s, is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say about the guy?
Well, I say that everybody ought to be very worried because, you know, he did not ride two of his jumps today away, and that's unusual. But one thing I've watched when my son has come up with Freddy as his idol is that when Freddy's angry, it's bad for the rest of the competitors.
Don't poke the bear.
Yes, don't poke the bear. And they poked the bear.
Yes, indeed. So in terms of jumping a little bit earlier on today, I mean, like Joel Poland, I mean, just absolutely sizzled out there.
There's so much to say about Joel. And, you know, he got 441 yesterday. If we were going to trick, he'd trick 12,000 points. And his jumping is extraordinary. His sportsmanship, you know, just give you a quick anecdote. We went to IWWF to get an exclusion for tomorrow to allow him to trick and set a world record. And because it wasn't just pristine and completely the right way to do it, Joel declined. Joel declined the opportunity to get an easy world record. His sport, because he wanted it to be right, he wants to respect the sport, he wants to do the right thing. So the man's sportsmanship, I mean, you know, we see so much about his excitement that he brings to skiing and his effervescence and his incredible ability, but not to be understated is his sportsmanship. And I'm just so appreciative and as I'm older, I'm more appreciative and impressed by that maybe than his skiing.
And just for him, I'll run the numbers, to kind of provide some context as to what he's doing in respect to his existing world overall record. You know, so I mean that to give information out to the crowd, you know, during the course of the men's jump final, which he'll be last off the dock, you know. So I mean,
what's important to note, his world record, so that was his sixth world record he set a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He is two buoys ahead of that. Uh-huh. Record, and 6 feet in jump. 6 feet in jump is 50 at the level he's at the 230 or 70 meter level. That's 100 feet. It's not every foot is exponential at that high level. So he is so far ahead of his world record pace. Really, it's I don't want to call it freakish, but and I think we take it for granted because he smiles and he's laugh and he's giggly. But you don't get that without sacrifice. You don't get that without commitment and practice. And I think Joel is getting everything he richly deserves. And I think it's so wonderful for the sport.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, we're in the practice phase now. We've gone through the elimination round phase in the slalom and in the jump event. Now we're letting the jumpers take a rip at the ramp. And getting ready for tomorrow night's show, and it is really going to be a show. Trying to kind of give us like a Cliff Notes version of what the folks in Lake and Orange and Polk County and all of the surrounding counties can expect when they arrive, starting 4 p.m. here at the Isles of Lake Hancock.
So this will be the biggest attended water ski tournament in the world. It'll be the biggest one in the last 25 years. There's Moomba, but that's a festival built around it, and Moomba is incredible. But this will be something like no one else has in the world. There'll be more people here. They'll be crazy. The kids are going to have face painting. We really focus on families at the King of Darkness. The whole thing's a family event. So there's face painting. There are rides. There are ice cream. All of that's free for the kids. So what you're going to see is a bunch. You're going to see 1,000, 2,000 kids running around with face painting, jumping in the water, screaming. It's
close.
We're looking
to Halloween
forward to insanity.
Yeah, absolutely. A right time of year for the face painting and all of that kind of festivity. Yep. Yep. And what have you. You know, so I mean, and you've done a lot of great marketing for this event as well. A little bit similar to what was done for LA Night Jam, which I was personally involved with, so far as Facebook marketing and geofencing and that kind of stuff, which is really changing the game so far as marketing an event is concerned.
Well, you mentioned LA Night Jam, and to be quite honest, every good idea that I think anyone has had, and certainly anything good idea I've had, has been stolen from other people. LA Night Jam, which is you're from there, Zachary, Louisiana Bennett Ski School. It is where this event was created. It is where this event was nurtured, where the notion, the Bennett Ski School, where it came up. Everything that we're doing here was literally borrowed from the Bennett Ski School. We try to, you know, everybody tries to make everything a little better. And because of technology, we've been geofencing for about 2 months around 5 miles around here. We don't go farther than that because we want it to be a family event. We want it to be kids and parents enjoying themselves in a safe, fun environment, and we hope it happens.
Because, I mean, you can really dial down the marketing, you know, to a certain age range, a certain demographic, you know. It's really changed since the days where if you wanted to publicize an event, you had to do it in, like, a local newspaper or print media.
it's a different world, right? And I'm an old dog trying to learn a new trick.
Me too.
So it's something that's new to me. But we're still doing the guerrilla marketing. We still have the signs out until the Orange County Sheriff's Department was forcefully told me to move boats. We had boats out on the street with flags, and there was 14,000 views a day from that and cars going by. So, look, what we're trying to do here is share this community, the Isles of Lake Hancock, with our greater community, which is the Hamlin Winter Garden area. And the goal is really to bring people into the sport, let people see what you can do, let people have fun, and hopefully grow our sport, because really we have a diamond in the rough, and it is not acknowledged, in my judgment, for the beauty it is, for the passion these kids have. And honestly, you know, we're wonderful. We have the opportunity to have Mastercraft boats, but honestly, every boat company, Nautique, Malibu, Mastercraft, they put on events, and they commit to the sport, and they commit to the community, and a rising tide raises all ships, right?
That's right. Indeed, indeed. So we're going to try and wrap this up a little bit, because I know you're trying to...
Go to bed.
Go to bed, get rested, you know, and at the same time allow the elite skiers of the world to take a rip at the ramp. So I'll let you do that. But before you go, typically when I end a podcast, I give the opportunity for the person interviewed a chance to say acknowledgement, you know, thanks, that kind of stuff, you know. So with that in mind, away you go.
I want to thank my wife and my children, because they have been working their tails off. All the volunteers, Mastercraft, but mostly I want to thank the athletes, because I have been around skiing and put on, I think, I don't know how many pro stops, and I've never seen a group of athletes be more professional, more kind, more warm, more sportsmanlike, which just warms my heart and fires me up about this. This is an incredible group of athletes, their performances, their attitudes, their kindness. Great kids.
All right, then, and with that, we'll end off this episode of the TWBC podcast. My big thanks goes out to Steve Garcia, the event organizer of the 2024 edition of the King of Darkness. If you are around the Central Florida area, please do come out to the Isles of Lake Hancock. You know, it's really, really easy to find right in the center of a winter garden. So I certainly urge you to come out and support the event there. If not, if you are a little further away, check in with the webcast on the TWBC YouTube channel. But for the meantime, and for everyone here, I am going to say ciao for now, and the latest edition of the TWBC podcast will be coming your way very, very soon.
She getting you, dude?
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.